pray for them. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, if you have your Bible. Look at verse 3 and 4 and 10 and 11. The whole chapter is good for you. It won't hurt you. But verse 3 and 4 and 10 and 11 would be our text today. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. Look at verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Today I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the darkness of despair, but how it disciplines us. Amen. There's times of darkness. Everybody has them. Everybody has times of darkness. A lot of times when things just don't make sense. You ever been there? Things just don't make sense. And we all have it. Our first response will always be, why? God, why? Why? Why is this happening to me, God? Why me? I do the best I can. I'm trying to be a good Christian. God, why me? But really, the question ought to be, how? How? How am I going to react to this situation? How am I going to react? And instead of why, start thinking how. And so I want to help you a little bit today, and all of you's had them, or either you're going through them, and if you're not, you're going to, okay? Some of you's young, and you think that the world's full of jokes and happiness, but I've got news for you. There's going to be dark valleys that you're going to go through, and you're going to remember what I'm telling you today. If you'll just sit up and listen, you're going to need this. There's going to be times to where you're in the darkness and you can't understand why God's put you where you are, and you're going to need something to hang on to. And I want to help you, okay? That's my job. I'm your pastor. So today I'm not preaching so much how to be saved or how to know it. I'm not preaching so much how to be a good Christian. I'm just teaching you how to endure the things that even as Christians we have to go through. It'll save you from the drugs. It'll save you from the alcohol. It'll save you from a lot of things that the world's going to throw at you to try to heal what you're in. And did you know some of the times when we're in the darkness is the greatest times we get closer to God? There's more spirituality in those dark times than there is in the light. I mean, we get closer to God. Can you say amen? The dark times sometimes drive us to God. Think about Job. God called Job a righteous man. God himself called Job a righteous man. And look what Job went through. Lost his whole family, all his possessions, everything. In one big sweep, he lost everything but his wife. And then he even lost his health. And God called Job a righteous man. Don't say, why, what did I do? But say, how, God? How am I going to go through this time that you've put me in? Now, how, God? I need some help. Not why. God's wise. God's all-knowing, all-understanding. And look, we can't question why, but we can say, how, God? How can I get through this? Help me, Lord. The prophet Habakkuk, he was a sold-out man of God. He went through the darkest time. John the Baptist. Jesus himself said there's never been a greater man than John the Baptist born. Jesus said that about John the Baptist. And he ends up in jail and sends a messenger to the Lord and say, Lord, are you not the one that I've been looking for? Is there not another one to come or something? What's going on here? The same one that saw the dove descending out of heaven, the Holy Spirit lighting on the head of Jesus Christ when he was baptized that day, he baptized him, and now he's in a dark time, and he says, well, why, Lord? Why am I going? Are you not the right one? And he sent word back to him. He's the right one. Just hang in there. It's coming. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You see that? If you're in the middle of darkness, it doesn't necessarily mean you've sinned against God. When Paul wrote this, he was right in the middle of God's perfect will. He was not living in sin. He had no unconfessed sin. He had no bad habits or hobbies or friends. He was right where God wanted him to be. And he said, but I'm perplexed. And I'm in despair, but I'm not cast down, and I am not destroyed. Amen? And so you think about people in the Bible, and you think about what they had to go through. This is our guidebook. You're not going to get it from Dr. Phil. Oprah doesn't even know what it says. The View, they're just, I ain't even going to say what they are. The fact is that faith is usually born in times of darkness. And for all of you that already have the faith you need, faith is more developed in times of darkness. A lot of times it looks like the darkness is going to take us, but as we go through that darkness and we get out the other side, we realize our faith grew more while we were in the dark than any other time we'd ever grown in our life. We all have trouble. There's nobody in this room that doesn't have trouble. Unless you're a kid, you're just ignorant of it. You got it. You just don't see it. Amen? Amen. And by the way, it's coming. Hang in there. You'll get you some. Amen? It's coming. We all have trouble. We all have times of darkness. We all have times of heartache and heartbreak. The difference, what divides the believer from the unbeliever is not the why, but the how. How we treat that time. There's a lot of people that their faith was developed in darkness. I think about old John Bunyan. While he was put in prison for preaching the gospel, he wrote that book, Pilgrim's Progress, one of the greatest books ever been written. I think about the Apostle Paul when they exiled him to an island, said, we're rid of that fanatic. He'll never do another thing. He's not going to turn another town upside down. He's not going to cause another riot. We've separated him out there by himself. Ain't nobody out there but the fish and the frogs, and we've shut him up. And God gave him the book of Revelation. God gave him the book of Revelation while he was there. I went to Kings Mountain, a little church up in Kings Mountain the other week to hear a man preach. I'd never heard of him. I just told the pastor I would come, and I wanted to keep my word. So I went, and this guy, I saw him, but I didn't think he was the preacher, you know. And when they called up the preacher, he was in a wheelchair, and he couldn't talk plain. It was kind of, boy, he preached. That boy preached. He preached, and he preached. And did you know, he said, I was right in the middle of God's will when this thing struck me. I was right in the middle of God's will when I got hurt. And I wasn't living in sin. I was practicing what I was supposed to practice. And he said, God put me through this, and now God's used this for His glory. And I feel better. My faith is stronger. I'm a better Christian than I've ever been. And I thank God for what He put me through to get me where I am today. Amen. He blessed my heart. His sermons were not grammatically correct. It wasn't even homiletically correct. I started to say hominy. Homiletically correct. But it was biblically correct. Amen? Amen? Some of you are going through things right now. You don't know why you're going through this. What you need to stop doing is asking why and say, how, Lord? How? How am I going to get you glory for this? And how are you going to make me better instead of bitter? Old John Bunyan, they put him in jail. Think about your kids on Wednesday nights, if you're Christian enough to bring them. Yeah, I said that. Come on. My wife and them are teaching those children about missions and missionaries, and those children, I guarantee you, they know more about missions than most of us in this room now, and all of the people that they're learning about, most of those people went through dark times in order to get to be the very famous person that they are, that they ended up in history. And I think that's good for our children to see that times of adversity and times of darkness will make you better if you'll quit asking why and start asking how, Lord. Look at Psalm 23, verse 1. Most of you already know it, but maybe you're going to look at it in a different way. I tell you what, let's just don't turn there. I'm using up my time too quick. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I want you to think about what he's saying. He's saying there's times that we're going to go through darkness that we don't understand. And did you know that we discover in that darkness, as he did in the 23rd Psalm, he discovered that even in the times of the darkness of death, God can develop our faith. I mean, the ultimate darkness. As we go with somebody after they've died and we have to stay in that shadow for a little while. I'm skipping over so much. I got so much to preach and so little time. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 3. Isaiah 45, look at verse 3. Let me turn back there. Isaiah 45, look at verse 3. In verse 3, 45:3, he says, and I will give thee the treasures of what? And hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. He says there's treasures in darkness. There's secret things in darkness that you're not going to find anywhere else. Did you know that the things that we go through, that when we get through and we look back and we say, well, I learned something from that. Man, I grew there. I didn't know that. Amen. When we first got saved, it was all about being saved. Woo! Saved, going to heaven, glory to God. Hallelujah, I'm saved. I will never have to go to hell. Got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you live off that for a couple months, and then all of a sudden the real world comes back to you and slaps you right in the face, and you start going through heartache and darkness and trial and tribulation. And you look up at the Lord, you say, Lord, I thought I got rid of that when I got saved. And then he said, no, you didn't get rid of it, but I'm going to show you something nobody else knows in this time. I'm going to give you a treasure. Amen. That the lost, you never would have seen it if you was lost. They go to the same funeral, but they don't see it. They go to the same hospital, but they don't see it. They go to the same doctor, but they don't see it. They go to the same divorce lawyer or whatever it might be, but they don't see the treasure that God shows us while we're in that darkness. So they turn to pills. And they turn to alcohol. And they turn to prescription drugs. And they go down there to the psychiatrist who loves to write prescriptions. And they go here and they go there. And they don't see what we see while we're in the darkness. You ever been doing something? You tell somebody, you say, look at that. They say, what? Right there, don't you see it? I don't see it. and that's the way it is with Christians. While we're in the darkness, God shows us things that he doesn't show them because they're already blind. And if you don't watch out, here's what'll happen. You'll light your own fire. You'll try to create things while you're in the darkness. And you'll try to make your own answers. Why are you in the darkness? You remember Abraham? God told him, said, I'm going to give you a son in your old age. And he's going to make the greatest nation that the planet Earth has ever seen. And Abraham and his wife get together and they say, well, we're going to have to help God. Ain't that what they said? Poor God. He's senile. He thinks a 90-year-old person can have a baby. So we just got to help God. So let's make our own fire. Let's get Hagar and let her have you, baby. And Hagar had Ishmael instead of Isaac. And if they just waited, God gave them Isaac later on. And because of what they made their own fire during that darkness, those people have been fighting ever since. War after war, they've been fighting ever since. One worships on Saturday, the other worships on Friday. One says there's one God, another says there's another God. One says we own the land, another says we own the land. And because Abraham made his own fire to see in that darkness, he messed up. You know, sometimes you just need to wait on the Lord. You just need to wait on the Lord. I'll tell you another one. Moses tried to help God. Moses tried to help God. Of all people, Brother Billy, the man that went up on the mountain and met God face to face, that got so close to God that the glory of God come over him, that when he got back down the hill, they couldn't even look at him. They had to hang a rag over his face because the glory of God was coming out so much that every time they looked at him, they got so convicted, they fell down on the ground because of their sin. And that same man, later on, tried to help God. That wandered around the wilderness, they needed some water. And God told Moses exactly how to get that water. And did you know Moses said, well, that ain't enough. I got to help him a little bit. And he did it the wrong way. And me and you read it, we say, well, that's not important. That wasn't a big deal. But it was a big deal because he lit his own fire, see. I'm going to have to light me a fire. I don't see how to do it the way he said to do it. And I don't see it coming. And I'm right here and I'm still in the dark. And so I tell you what, I'm going to light me a fire and light up this place for myself. And because of that, he didn't even get to go into the promised land. The place that he preached and taught about and led the children of Israel, when it came down to that day, because one time he lit his own fire and tried to help God, he didn't get to go. He got to see it. Ain't that something? Got to see it, but he didn't get to go. Old Simon Peter. Simon Peter, over there in the New Testament, you got Simon Peter. And he's already lied more than one time. I call him Simon the Baptist. Amen. He's already lied more than once. He doesn't intend to lie. He doesn't mean to lie, but he lies. And the Lord said, he's talking about his disciples leaving him, you know, and he turns to the apostles. He said, will you leave me also? Oh, no, no, we won't leave you. We'll go with you to the end. And he was one of the first ones to jump ship. And then he goes down there and he follows at a distance. As Jesus goes to be tried, he's sulking around in the dark. That's where it was at night. He was hiding out in the dark, following at a distance. And then when he got up there, he decided to use the world's fire. He got up there beside a fire barrel. He got up there beside a fire that the world had made, warming himself by the fire. And that little old girl looked at him and said, you're one of them. He's not me. And he keeps getting warm. A little bit later, she says, you sound like them. No, that's not me. And then again, he said, well, are you sure? I think I saw you with them. And he cussed and denied that he knew the Lord. He was using the world's fire. Now, that's Luke 22, in case you didn't know where that was at. But now listen, if your son has said, I want to show you Isaiah 50, look at verse 4 again. Isaiah 50, look at verse 4 again. In verse 4, he said, the Lord God had given, Isaiah 50, verse 4, the Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. You know what he's saying? He's saying the morning comes and I'm going to hear from him again. It's dark at night. I may not hear. Hey, I might be in a dark place. It might be a dark night. But in the morning, the sun's coming up and I'll hear from him again. He said, in the morning he wakeneth me, morning by morning. Every morning he wakes me up. And every morning his mercies are renewed. And every morning it's a new day. And in the morning the sun's coming up. Now today may not be your morning. You may still be in the darkness. But I've got news for you. Sooner or later, he's going to wake you up. Amen. And sooner or later, he's going to show you some things. He'll light up your way again. If you will, look at Psalm 112, verse 4. Psalm 112, verse 4. Now, and I know some of you're having a good time. Your job's going good. You got money in the bank. You've got health. You've got people that love you. But listen, you've been through darkness. And trust me, it's coming again. Psalm, if you will, 112, verse 4. Psalm 112, verse 4. When you go through darkness, one day you're going to come out from the other side, on the other side, and you're going to see some things. You're going to understand some things. Look at verse 4. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Did you know that sooner or later, no matter how dark it looks right now, He's going to give you light again? Don't turn, but I'll read it to you. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "For His anger endureth but for a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Amen. I've had my heart broken. I've been in some dark nights. I've been hurt. We've all been hurt. We've all been let down. We've all been deceived sometime in our lives. We've all been misled. But on the other hand, we've also went through some dark times that nobody put on us but God Himself. Amen. And by the way, everything that come through those other people came through His hands first. Amen. He said, joy's coming in the morning. Sun's coming up again. And I know, boy, you ever been real sick? Now, flu, I hadn't had flu in years, thank God, hallelujah, and thank God for flu shots. I used to get the flu at least twice a year. I've got a low immune system. I'd get the flu, and I'd lay in the bed, and that's the longest night you'll ever have when you got the flu. I got hepatitis B when I was 18. And boy, I laid in the bed for a week, and I thought I had the flu, and I got so crazy. I bought contacts, those contact capsules. And I'd take one, and I'd wake up, and I didn't know it then, and I look back on it. I'd wake up a little bit later, and I'd think, man, I've been asleep for 12, 14 hours. I'd take another one. Then it'd get dark, and I'd wake up, and I'd think, man, I slept through the whole day, and I'd take another one. I ended up taking a pack of contact, a whole pack of them, like 12 of them in 2 days, man. I didn't know if it was daylight or dark. I didn't think I'd ever come out of that. And I lay there and I sweat so bad my bed was wet like somebody just poured water over me. And I was freezing to death. And in times like that, you're laying in the bed and balled up like a little old baby. You ever done that? You just ball up like a little baby. You're laying there and you're praying, God, if you ain't going to heal me, go ahead and kill me. I cannot. Every muscle hurts. Every joint hurts. My throat hurts. My head hurts. My wife says it's a man cold. Y'all know what a man called me. She said, I get the flu and I cook breakfast. You get the flu and you lay in the bed. But when you're sick, the nights are the longest nights you'll ever have when you're sick. Seriously. And when you're heartbroken, the nights are the longest thing you'll ever experience is night. And you let out, you pray, Lord, get the sun back up. I can't take this darkness no more. Bring the sun up. Sickness is always worse at night. Heartache is always worse at night. Disappointment is always worse at night. You ever notice how during the day you'll go through the whole day and not think about a lot of things, but at night you'll wake up in the middle of the night thinking about something that hurts? Then you can't go back to sleep. And you try to read your Bible and that don't work. And you try to pray and that don't work. You try to watch television and that don't work. And finally you'll fall asleep and feels like 15 minutes later the sun comes up. And you say, thank God I didn't get no sleep. The sun's up. Amen. Night's always worse. Night, the darkness. And listen, in Psalm 30 verse 5, I read it to you. I want to read it to you again. He said that last part. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, let me tell you something. If you aren't in a dark place right now, you ought to praise God for every normal day. Right. Amen. You hear me? Amen. Every day you wake up and it's a normal day and you're not at the hospital. Nobody you know is. You're not at the funeral home and nobody you know is. And you're not heartbroken and nobody you know is. And your children are doing well and your grandchildren are doing well. And you got a job and you got health. You'll look up to heaven and say, thank God, hallelujah, for another sunrise on a normal day. You didn't hit the lottery. You're not a millionaire. You don't have a lot of stuff, but it's a normal day. Amen? Every time I ride by the funeral home, I say, thank God. It's a normal day. You ride by the hospital, you'll say, thank God, it's a normal day. I don't know anybody in the hospital. Your children's being obedient and they're doing what they're supposed to do. You'll say, thank God, I got some good children. Your wife loves you. You'll say, thank God that somebody loves me, sorry as I am. Your husband loves me. You'll say, thank God I got a husband that cares about me and loves me. Amen. You got some grandparents that care about you. You'll look up to heaven, wave your hands and say, thank God, hallelujah, that a lot of children have nobody. You're not sick. You'll say, thank God for good health. Some of y'all have never had bad health. You don't know how dark that can be. I remember when I hurt my spine and I went to the spine doctor and all that stuff, and he told me he wanted to cut my throat. There have been a lot of people who wanted to cut my throat. He wanted to go through there and cut into my spine and put a little bone chip back there on that crack one. And I got to reading up on that. I'm kind of dumb, but I can find some things on the internet. So I got reading people that had it, and they said, don't do it. If you can live without it, don't do it. If you can live without it, don't do it. And they told me their experiences. And then I went back to him to discuss it more. And he said, I'm going to cut through there, and I got to go through your voice box. He said, you won't be able to preach or sing or nothing for at least 6 to 8 weeks. He said, and you'll have to drink, you can't eat solids for about 4 or 5 weeks. And your voice may never be the same. I said, Doc, my voice is not good now. You cannot make it any worse. Don't, please. So I got to think about it. The more I thought about it, I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not doing that. And I was in pain. I mean, I was in pain. Listen to me. I got to pray, and I said, Lord. And then and I'm going to tell you, the Lord put bronchitis on me. On top of that, He put bronchitis. The Lord did that. You know why? I finally got some pain medicine. They give you narcotic cough medicine. And I couldn't lay flat and breathe. And He told me I was going to have to lay on my back. So I made me a little elevated position. And I lay in that bed like that, perfectly still for days. Just, I'd get up and, you know, do things I had to do, but mostly I'd just lay in that bed like that, perfectly still. And after a while, it just kind of went away. Now, I still have cramps in this arm, and then my hand would draw up like that every once in a while. My arm would draw. But look, I thought, Lord, if I have to do this, I'm going to lose my job. I mean, I can't preach. I can't lead the singing. I can't teach. And besides that, I was selling insurance too. How am I going to sell insurance if I can't talk? So I laid there and prayed. And I'm going to be honest with you, I got kind of discouraged. But then finally, when He made me well enough where I can get up and go again, I walk around out in the yard and I say, thank God I got a normal day. Thank God I didn't have to have spine surgery. Ms. Earnhardt's been through a lot of that. She could tell you about it. Some of you others have had spine surgery. And look, no matter what you're going through, a lot of times, you don't know if you're ever going to make it through again. But talk to those people who stuck with it and didn't say why, but how, Lord? How am I going to go through this? How am I going to suffer? How am I going to be a good Christian during this time? And then when they get out of it, they can tell you how to do it. Abraham, Moses, Simon, Peter tried to light their own fire. Don't you light no fire. Don't you try to figure this thing out. Don't you go get people to help you that have no business trying to help you. They're not spiritual minded. They're not Christians. You stay away from that crowd and you trust God. If you're in a dark place right now, you know what? You're to use this time to increase your devotion. You're to let it draw you closer to God. We all have children problems. If you have children, you have problems. Say amen right there. If you have grandchildren, you have problems. It's called their parents. I don't know why God gave... God. Now, this is one place I disagree with God. He should have gave grandparents first. Instead of parents. Because when I had kids, I didn't have enough sense to raise kids. And my kids don't have enough sense to raise kids. That's why God gave them grandparents. So why don't we just skip the kids and just have the parents and just have grandparents? Make more sense, wouldn't it? But if you've got children, you've been in dark places. Don't sit there and act like your children never did anything wrong or said anything wrong. No, sir, they're little sinners. Every one of them needs a whipping. The Bible says that. Not spare them for their much crying. Amen. Whip them. If you can't, bring them to me. I'll whip them. And some of your children I would have great joy in whipping. I ain't never heard a preacher talk like that. Well, you had lying preachers. Let me tell you something. If you've got children, you've been, especially when they turn about 12 or 13, it starts getting dark. What in the world's going to happen to my young? This child is a mess. What's going to happen to them when they're 22? And it's dark places, you know. Some of you might be in a dark place right now because of your finances. You know, if you'd come to Sunday school, you could learn how to handle your finances. Say amen, Sunday school. Amen. I taught it this morning. And I don't even teach on money. And you can still learn. You may be in a bad place because of your finances, but I've got news for you. My father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he owns all the gold that's in the hills, and you ought not be worried about your finances. Let him take care of you. He said he takes care of the birds and he clothes the lilies. Surely he can take care of me and you. Amen? But sometimes you get yourself in a mess and you're in a dark place. And don't say why. Usually the why is your fault. Say how. Lord, how am I going to get out of this mess? Maybe some of you's in a dark place. Would you help right now, maybe? And to be honest with you, let's be honest. Most of our health problems, we caused them. Somebody didn't say amen. I'm going to say that again. Most of our health problems, we caused them. You are just reaping how you have destroyed your body earlier. You thought you were invincible. Here, take one of these. It won't hurt you. Now it hurts. Here, smoke this. It won't hurt. Now it hurts. Here, drink this. It won't hurt you. Now it's hurting you. Amen? Some of y'all looking kind of puzzled right now. Amen? Some of you's in problems with your health problems. You have health problems that maybe you don't think they are your fault. And it still could be. It could be, eat this. It won't hurt you. Sugar ain't never hurt nobody. Bread ain't never hurt nobody. You know, fat ain't eat that fat, it's good for you. Now listen, you might be in a dark place because you health, but I've got news for you. Go ahead and trust God during your health. And one day he's gonna give you a new body. Amen. You know, your life, your health in this life, your body in this life ain't in on the grand scheme of the timetable of God and man. And eternity, your body lasts about that long. The real you's limitless. Amen. He's going to give you a new body. And you know what? He has had mercy on people and gave them health in this life too, undeserving as we may be. It may be you're in a time of darkness. Maybe you've been through that shadow of death. Maybe somebody's passed that was close to you recently, Sister Deborah. Maybe you're right there right now. Some of you are. Some of you are widows. Some of you or folks that's lost your parents. Maybe you've lost children. And you've been trying to figure this thing out. Well, let me tell you something. That darkness will only endure for a season. The sun's coming up in the morning. He'll renew your faith. He'll renew your strength, and He'll keep you going. You know that? And then listen, some of you may be in a dark place because of something you've done. Maybe your sin has put you in a dark place. The number one sin would be unbelief. You've never believed on Christ. You've never trusted Him. You've never asked Him to save you. And the number one sin, you're in a very dark place because you're in total spiritual darkness, and you'll never see what we see, and you'll never understand what we understand, and you'll never know God like we know God until you turn from the darkness of unbelief and come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your personal Savior. And then you'll see the light. And you'll understand. And then others of you, you're going through a dark place because you are saved, but you have sinned. And you won't admit it. And some of you are living in sin right now. You're sinning. You're living that way on purpose. You know it's wrong. You know it's sin. You know you ought not be like that. Is anybody still with me? You know you ought not be like that. And God has put you in darkness saying, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to communicate with you. I'm not going to fellowship with you. I'm not going to feed you. I'm not going to heal you. I'm not going to take care of you. You're living in rebellion. And until you get this right, you'll just be in the dark. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7. He that walketh in the light, walketh in the light. God forgives him of all his sins and cleanses him by the blood of Jesus. You know what walking in light means? It means doing what you know God wants you to do. But when you turn against God and you know what God is and you know what God can do and you rebel against God, He'll put you in the dark as He did the children of Israel. They wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness with no direction, went in a perfect circle for 40 years that same road over and over again, and God would not communicate with them. He communicated with the next generation and led them into the promised land. Go read your Bible. At the close of the Old Testament, for 400 years, God did not speak. He did not write a scripture. He did not do anything for 400 years because the children of Israel had once again, though they knew the truth and they were in the promised land, they had once again turned from the true and living God, and now they were worshiping in form but not faith. And for 400 years, God didn't speak. But He said, but when the fullness of time was come, when it was time for the darkness to end, God sent forth His Son. Now, some of you are in a time of darkness right now, and I think you ought to get to the time where you say, well, the fullness of my time has come. I want to get out of this darkness. I'm going to get right with God. What I'm doing is not worth the darkness. What I'm feeling is not worth the darkness. The things I'm experiencing is not worth the darkness. I need God. I need Him in my life. And I'll do whatever it takes to get back in the light. I'll repent. I'll turn it around. And I'll go back where I left it. And I'll step back into the light where God can bless me again. And God can take care of me again. And God can supply my needs again. So to conclude the whole matter, here it is. Some of us are in darkness of no choice. We didn't choose this darkness. But you didn't choose MS. You didn't choose to lose that loved one. You didn't choose, some of you didn't choose the sickness, the pain, the trouble you're going through. But don't ask why. God's going to bring you out of the darkness. Why are you in there? Why don't you seek how? How is this going to make me better? How am I going to be a better Christian? How is this going to bring God glory? Seek how, not why. And keep trusting God. But then some of you chose darkness. You're rebelling against God. I'm not going to get saved. I got a lot of living to do. You may not live that long. Well, I'm not going to get saved. I'm going to enjoy life while I'm young. I preach funerals of a lot of young people. Young is not a guarantee of long life. Well, I'm not going to get right with God till my husband does. I'd run away and just go and get right anyway. Let your husband do whatever he wants to do. Amen. Well, I'm not going to get right because my wife ain't right. No, you go ahead and get right. It might get your wife right. Amen. Well, my children, why don't you quit blaming your children? Become a parent. Take the authority you're supposed to have. Get right with God and your children might just follow you. Well, I'm just mad at God. Well, how can the mold get mad at the maker? He didn't even have to create you. He could have let you die at birth. He could have let you got in a car wreck before you got here today. How can the mold get mad at the maker? Go ahead and look up to God and say, God, you made me, you saved me, you're keeping me. Now I'm going to trust you and I'm going to be like Job. I don't care if the skin worms destroy this flesh, I will trust you. I don't care if all those fair weather friends leave me, I will trust you. I don't care if my wife cusses me and she don't believe in me, I'm still going to trust you. And one day with these eyes, I will see you and I'll understand it all. Until then, God help me to be what ought to be where I'm at right now. And trust Him that, the sun will come up. This too will pass. This is not the end of your life. This is just a small part of your life. And it's going to get better. I promise you it'll get better. And how many of you could say, amen, preacher, it's going to get better? Amen. How many of you has been through the dark and God brought you out? Amen. He'll do it. I promise you He'll do it. Wait on the Lord. He'll renew your strength and you'll mount up like eagles. And listen to this. The worst you will experience under the protection of a heavenly Father, the worst you'll experience is better than what you would have experienced without Him. Amen. My worst day as a Christian is better than the best day when I was lost going to hell. I know it hurts. I know you lose sleep at night. I know you wonder, what am I going to do next? Put it in His hands. Number one, confess your sins if you got any. Number two, after that, trust Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct thy path. The sun's coming up. Boy, I wish I could go to everyone. You're going through just darkness. He's still there. He's not dead. We sing in children's church. I did children's church for so many years, and people make fun of my singing, but I'd sing it anyway. That old Pentecostal song. God's not dead. No, He's still alive. God's not dead. No, He's still alive. God's not dead. No, He's still alive. I feel Him in my hands. I feel Him in my heart, my feet. I feel Him in my... Wait a minute. I feel Him in my... I done messed it up out now. And then you say, woo! I feel Him in my heart. Woo! I feel Him all over me. Now listen to me. Listen. You may not feel Him. You may not. But that's what faith is for. Whether you feel Him or not, He's still there. Let's stand. our Heavenly Father.